Radio.
Cardinal Burke on the need for a new evangelization. An address at the University of Sydney.
Thank you very much for the warm welcome. Perhaps we could begin by praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seat of wisdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm very pleased to be with you today to discuss our Catholic faith, especially in terms of the particular challenges which the Church faces in our time. And I thank very much Alessandro for the very warm and gracious introduction. The university is a key contributor to the transformation of a culture which is more and more alienated from God and therefore lacking a solid foundation in the truth, in the nature of man and of the world as God has created us. For that reason, I'm especially pleased to visit the University of Sydney to hear your concerns and questions, and as a shepherd of souls, to respond to them. I thank the Catholic Society of St. Peter, the chaplaincy, and in particular Daniel Hill, the director of university chaplaincies in the Archdiocese of Sydney, for inviting me to be with you today and for making all of the arrangements for our encounter. It is my hope that our brief time together today may serve the noble purposes of the Catholic Society of St. Peter, whose members seek to live intensely and coherently the Catholic faith on the university campus, and thus to manifest in a preeminent manner the unity of faith and reason. Let me begin our time together with a brief reflection on the situation in which the Church finds herself in the 21st century. I offer a general description of the situation to provide a context for your questions and our discussion. The Church in a totally secularized society. As Christians today, we find ourselves in a completely secularized society. Pope John Paul II, in his teaching on the mission of the lay faithful in the world, reminded us in an unmistakable manner that many today, even in what were once Christian countries, live as if they have no relationship with God or to his plan for us and for our world. He described the contemporary situation of the Church in the world with these words: "Whole countries and nations where religion and the Christian life were formerly flourishing and capable of fostering a viable and working community of faith are now put to a hard test, and in some cases are even undergoing a radical transformation as a result of a constant spreading of an indifference to religion, of secularism and atheism. This particularly concerns countries and nations of the so-called First World, in which economic well-being and consumerism, even if coexistent with a tragic situation of poverty and misery, inspires and sustains a life lived as if God did not exist. This indifference to religion and the practice of religion, devoid of true meaning, in the face of life's very serious problems, are not less worrying and upsetting when compared with declared atheism. To remedy the situation, the saintly pontiff observed, a mending of the Christian fabric of society is urgently needed in all parts of the world. He hastened to add that if the remedy is to be achieved, the Church herself must be evangelized anew. Fundamental to understanding the radical secularization of our culture is to understand also how much the secularization has also entered into the life of the Church. In the words of Pope John Paul II, "But for this mending of the Christian fabric of society to come about, what is needed is first to remake the Christian fabric of the ecclesial community itself present in these countries and nations." In a similar vein, Pope Benedict XVI, in his 2010 Christmas address to the Roman Curia, reflecting on the grave evils which are destroying us as individuals and as a society, and which have generated a culture marked predominantly by violence and death, described a relativism in contemporary moral theology called proportionalism or consequentialism, which has generated profound confusion and outright error regarding the most fundamental truths of the moral law. It has led to a situation in which, in his words, morality is replaced by a calculus of consequences, and in the process it ceases to exist. If, therefore, the irreplaceable moral order, which is the way of our freedom and happiness, is to be restored, we must address with clarity and steadfastness the error of moral relativism, proportionalism, and consequentialism, which permeates our culture and has also entered, as Pope Benedict XVI reminded us, into the church. To confront this ideology, Pope Benedict XVI urged a new study of the teaching of Pope John Paul II in his encyclical letter, Veritatis Splendor, on the fundamentals of the Church's moral teaching. In Veritatis Splendor, Pope John Paul II, in the words of Pope Benedict XVI, indicated with prophetic force in the great rational tradition of Christian ethos the essential and permanent foundations of moral action. Reminding Catholics of the need of man to form his conscience in accord with the moral teaching of the Church, he also reminded them of our responsibility to make these criteria, the essential and permanent foundations of moral action, audible and intelligible once more for people today as paths of true humanity in the context of our paramount concern for mankind. In other words, the repairing of the fabric, the Christian fabric of the Church itself, especially with regard to her moral teaching, is not some kind of inward-looking activity, but is also part of the service which the Church is called to give to the world. I would just speak briefly then about the call to a new evangelization. The Christian life, if lived with integrity today, is necessarily countercultural. As Pope John Paul II so frequently reminded us, Christians today are called to a new evangelization of culture. The situation can thus be described. The gospel has been proclaimed and taken root in Christian countries, but then has been forgotten. The forgetfulness leads to a hostile reaction when the truth of the gospel is once again proclaimed. The faith no longer has deep root in the lives of the successive generations. What is needed then is a new evangelization of the culture, which in fact can no longer be considered Christian. The Christian faith and its practice must be imparted anew as if for the first time, as it was during the first Christian centuries and at the time of the evangelization of our native lands. The Christian character of the culture is no longer a given, even though it may have been so for many centuries. We must respond today with ever greater enthusiasm and energy to our Lord's command at his ascension, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Before the challenges of living the faith in our time, Pope John Paul II recalled to our minds the urgency of Christ's mandate given to the first disciples and given no less to missionaries down the Christian centuries and to us today. He declared, "Certainly the command of Jesus, 'Go and preach the gospel,' always maintains its vital value and its ever-pressing obligation. Nevertheless, the present situation, not only of the world, but also of many parts of the Church, absolutely demands that the word of Christ receive a more ready and generous obedience. Every disciple is personally called by name. No disciple can withhold making a response. And then he quotes St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." The obedience, which is fundamental and essential to the new evangelization, is also a virtue acquired with great difficulty in a culture which exalts individualism and questions all authority except the self. Yet it is indispensable if the gospel is to be taught and lived in our time. We take example from the first disciples, from the first missionaries to our native places, and from the host of saintly brethren who have given themselves completely to Christ throughout the Christian centuries, calling upon the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit to purify them of any rebellion against God's will and to strengthen them to do God's will in all things. Before the great challenge of living the Christian faith today, we with them draw courage from the promise with which our Lord concluded his missionary mandate, "And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Just to conclude, we live in a time when the fundamental truth about life, about marriage and family, and about religion itself is under a ferocious attack which seeks to obscure and sully the sublime beauty of our life and seeks to subvert the goodness of a life lived in accord with the truth revealed in creation and restored by the redemptive incarnation. The affront of God and his law in our time is profoundly shocking and demands a clear and steadfast response on the part of Christians. Even within the church, there are those who would obscure the truth and who question the grace we receive to live even heroically in accord with the truth. Our witness to the splendor of the truth must be limpid and heroic. We must be ready to suffer, as Christians have suffered down the ages, to live the faith with integrity. The university, above all, as an institution dedicated to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth, must also become ever more a privileged forum of the celebration of the truth by the cultivation of the beauty of all forms of art, and above all, of the goodness of a virtuous life. Let us take as our example St. Thomas Aquinas, who confessed the integrity of the faith through his university studies, his university teaching, and his scholarly writings, and above all, by heartfelt worship of God and by humble pursuit of the virtues by which the worship of God finds continual expression in our daily living. Before the confusion and error which Satan is surely sowing so widely in our culture today, let us follow the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the seat of wisdom, and St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor. And let us invoke their intercession so that the truth will be ever more respected and revered in the church and in society. Thank you for your kind attention, and now I look forward to our discussion. Thank you.
That was an address by Cardinal Raymond Burke. This talk was hosted by the Catholic Society of St. Peter at the University of Sydney. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.